home. Let me come home. Home is wherever I'm with you. Oh, home. Let me come home. Home is wherever I'm with you.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Well, I think what it is another day for me to screw up another quiz from Dean Sharp. And it's the deep, dark depths of yours. Very dramatic, very brooding Dean. Are doors something like this?
Doors are not that way at all.
Well, I think the thing that intrigues me about doors, which is something I don't think I'd ever even looked at recently, was the variance in cost and how much a front freaking door costs. Holy cow.
Yeah, front doors can be really expensive, very expensive. And a lot of people just assume that they have to spend a ton of money on a front door because it's their front door. When in reality, a lot of Southern Californians actually, in my opinion, should spend more money on their garage door than they should on their front door. Because their garage door is a lot closer to the street, a lot more prominent architecturally from the front of the house. And, the front door, by the time you get to it, is just a door.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because if you think about the front of most people's homes, what do you see? You see the roof, like we talked about last week, that you think you said was like 30 for 40% of what you see. But then if you've got a two-car garage, that's the huge majority of the front of the house. And a lot of people have three car garages down here, so that takes up even more space. And then their front doors are just one bloop little door that's kind of hidden.
Yep, the garage door is about 5 to 6 times larger than the front door. But we're here to talk about doors, not the garage door. Front doors, interior doors, exterior doors. And I wrote you a little quiz that you can take. And we'll see how you do this time around. But I'm going to give you an advantage. I'm going to let you pick which questions, because I know we've got more questions here on my quiz than you and I have time to talk about this morning.
Okay, so I started thinking about this last night. How many doors does the average person walk through in their lifetime? And I thought, okay, let me just say that 5 times a day you walk in and out of your house. You go to work, you come home, 1, 2, you're in and out to get the mail, 3, 4, and I don't know, 1 time to say hello to the neighbor or pick up an Amazon package, right? So 5 times however long you live in their house. Am I even close?
You're actually a little low. And now, granted, I'm not sure there's been big university money set aside to study this, okay? But whoever, there seems to be a consensus out there that the average person walks through a door about 30,000 times in their lifetime.
Wow.
So,
but
doors
I guess
are,
that makes sense because most people use their front door as their main door. It's rare that people use, I guess, their side door or back door all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah. And this is just doors in general, though. And which kind of leads me to the theme of what's going to be tomorrow's show. It's door and window weekend on home. So tomorrow's show is all about doors. Sunday, we're talking all about windows. Doors are, you know, in my opinion, the most familiar thing that nobody knows anything about. I mean, we just take them for granted. But if you actually zero in and ask a homeowner, hey, let's talk about the details of your door, that's when shoulders start to shrug. It's kind of like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that thing.
Well, I know one of the things that I've noticed over the years of renting houses, owning houses, that sort of thing, that little gap under the door and how big it should be, I assume that it's there for expansion with the weather. Is that right?
That is not correct.
Oh, man, I thought I was so good on that one.
No, you know, the gap under the door has two purposes. One, obviously, is to make sure that the door swings and clears any flooring material. And by the way, the proper gap under an interior door is 1 inch above, one half inch. I almost got it wrong myself. 1/2 inch above the top of whatever flooring material. So that's a half an inch above hard surface floors like wood or tile, and or it swings over a half an inch above the top of your carpet pile, which means if you ever switch out carpets and go to hardwood, the gap in your door may be a little high. But the point of it being there is not just to clear the flooring material, but it's to allow you to have the door shut and have your HVAC system still circulate somewhat almost halfway decently.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Well, why is it, though, that then over time, it seems like I know when I've rented older houses, and it seems that that gap either gets larger or something, they become, I end up having to put those little, like, snakes at the bottom of the door that keep the draft out kind of thing. Is that just because older houses were made differently, or what?
It's usually because the door was cut for carpeting, and then somebody pulled out the carpet, and now you've got a hard surface floor, and now you have twice the size of the gap that you actually need, and then people start using
just
door
just like
stuff.
You were saying.
Yeah.
Is it hard to shave a door, or to, I guess you can't add on to a door, but can you shave a door?
You can shave a door, but there are rules involved that a lot of people don't realize. So if you're not familiar with how doors work, then you should have somebody else shave the door. That was one of your questions. Where is it? Oh, what do most people not know about the edge of a door, Jen?
How to shave it?
Most people don't realize that the edge, the left and right edge of a door, isn't square.
Oh,
it's a bevel.
It's not?
It has been beveled. And if it's been installed properly, the edge of a door has a 3-degree bevel, back bevel on it. And the reason is kind of simple. If you can imagine, if a door is a perfect rectangle and it sits very snugly inside its jamb, which is also a rectangle, right? When you start to swing the door open, that back inside corner of the door, as you start to swing it, will rub against the jamb.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. That's why it would need to be beveled.
So the face of that door, now it's almost imperceptible. We're not talking about a big old 45-degree bevel. We're talking about 3 degrees, okay? But ideally, if a door has been installed properly, instead of that front edge where the latch is being a 90-degree surface, it's actually an 87-degree surface.
Okay, that would be something I would never notice, and that's probably why most people don't know that.
And when some people say, well, the door is rubbing for what reason or another, and they said, you went on, I'm not going to trim the door. This is the most popular homeowner fix. They're going to get out a belt sander. They take the door off, they stand it up on edge, and they say, I'm just going to sand this edge of the door. And they proceed to belt sand the door down a little bit and, belt sand it flat and square. And then when they put the door back on, they are shocked how huge of a gap they've created, and they've basically ruined the door for the setup. And that's because they were sanding it square when it should have been sanded on an angle.
That makes sense. Okay, what is, off the list, what is the, I guess, cheapest way or easiest way to spruce up your front door?
The cheapest way to spruce up a door is always paint. New paint. Just new paint. Even if you have a stained grade front door, maybe it's time for it not to be a wood-looking door anymore. In fact, I would say that in about 7 out of 10 circumstances, homeowners through the years were kind of sucked into the hole, as you started off our bit with, buying uber expensive front doors, like big old honey oak front doors. There are so many homes in Southern California that have oak front doors that the oak really has no correlation to the outside design of the house at all. I mean, we just didn't need oak there. We just needed a nice front door. Yeah. And so one of the things that folks can do, and people are hesitant because they're like, I spent $4,000 on that door. I'm not going to paint it. Okay, well, that's fine. You just stick with your old oak door that doesn't match anything else on your house. But this is one of the ways as a designer that I annoy people, because they're like, are you kidding me? I don't want to paint my front door. But it really is one of the ways that you can spruce up a door and radically change it and renew it. Because if you decide to paint a previously stained door, after you've stripped it down, it also gives you the opportunity to, you can Bondo and patch up all the cracks. You can fill dings. You can resecure bits of veneer that might be, you know, starting to peel off. You can really renew the surface of that door, and a fresh coat of paint is going to hide it all, and you can get the door looking like new again. Also, same goes true with interior doors. The best way to spruce up a house sometimes is not to repaint all the walls in the house, but to attack the doors. And what I like to do is flip the script quite often and encourage people. You know, we get in these trends where, you know, just about everybody in Southern California has white baseboards and white casings around white hollow core doors. And I'll encourage them, hey, if you want a more bold interior statement, maybe the doors go dark. Maybe the wall stays light and we paint all the doors and the casing dark, and we get them really substantive looking, okay? Because for a long time, white on white on white is an important design motif in the right circumstance, but just because the door came white off the shelf from, you know, from Home Depot, or you just bought the house that way, doesn't mean that white is the best color for an interior door. In fact, quite often it's not.
I love the idea of painting them dark against white walls. I love, love, love that. Okay, going back to the front door. I was talking with a buddy of mine who's a contractor, and he was saying that he was replacing the doors on, I think he's condo or something like that. Anyway, he was talking about inside, how it was relatively inexpensive to go through and get new doors for the inside of this place. But it was that front door that cost a fortune. And I thought, well, why? And I didn't ask him that, but why? Why does a front door, is that because it's solid versus most of our indoor interior doors are hollow, or what is it?
Well, unfortunately, most interior doors are hollow. That's a whole nother bugaboo that you don't even want to get me started on. I don't think interior doors should be hollow, but most of them are. Most interior doors, by the way, the typical hollow core interior door sells for a whopping like $38 at the hardware store. I mean, we're talking, it's an incredibly cheap door. In my opinion, you might as well just tack a sheet up in the opening and, you know, not worry about it, because that's about how much good it does. But yeah, interior doors are uber, uber cheap. Exterior doors, there are several reasons why they're more expensive. Number one, sometimes, like as we said, they're made out of some really high quality, more expensive woods. Number two, exterior doors are thicker than interior doors. An interior door is 1 3/8 inches in thickness. An exterior door has to be, by code, 1 3/4 inches. So there's more of it. It's that way because it provides better insulation. It's that way because an exterior door is, it's assumed that an exterior door has to provide better security. So it's a tougher door. Sure. An exterior door is really different from an interior door in tons of ways. The adhesives that put it together are weatherproof adhesives. An interior door doesn't have to be weather resistant because it's inside. And then the list just goes on and on from there. So exterior doors are larger. There's more material. They're put together more securely. They're put together with greater weather resistance, and that's why they're more expensive. But again, they don't have to break the bank. They really don't. Not unless you're being sold the idea that it has to be oak or mahogany and has to have all these glass panels in it, those kinds of things. And, you know, more often than not, a simple front door, well-built paint-grade front door can last a home just as long, if not longer, than the uber-expensive ones.
Dean, I always love your information. I love when you give me little quizzes, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks. See you later. That's KFI's House Whisperer, Dean Sharp. You can follow him on social media at Home with Dean, or just listen to him tomorrow morning, 6 to 8 here on KFI, or Sunday, 9 to 11.